This sermon is by the Reverend J. Christie Ramsey, pastor of Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio. May you be blessed to be a blessing.
How do you know God's will? How do you know that you are doing what God wants you to do? How do you know that you're following God's path? How do you know that you're answering God's call? How do you know that you are on the correct road? How do you know the way? Thomas' question is the question of all of us, or should be, at least many times in our lives, to follow the way of God. How can we know the way, Lord? What do we know is coming from our life? It is so much easier to see God's work and way and path in our life, looking back and looking forward. It is at times like these, when we look back over our life, that we can see God's hands and God's witness and what we can learn about the faith. Edith was sure at one time that God's plan, God's way, God's will for her was that she remained unmarried. She had accepted that. She accepted that working for the Red Cross would be a fine and worthy thing to do, and so it is. But then she got a call. And just like I've been saying, it's hard to see God's will looking forward. But a certain day, if you look rearward, specifically, if you looked in the rearview mirror of a car, in the back seat of a car over your shoulder, you would see that God's will, God's way, included marriage and a family for her. How can we know God's will? How can we know God's way? Thomas's question is our question. Edith found a part of that answer when she found out that she wasn't going to spend a career working for the American Red Cross and being unmarried, as noble and as good as that choice would be, but instead would get married and have children and have a family. At times in her life, she thought she could go back to work. She could get a job. She could contribute to the finances. She could get out of the house. But every time that she thought that was the way, it appeared not to be. And she said, you know, I will prepare a house for my husband and children. That was her way. And that was Jesus' way, too. You see what Jesus' way is? Jesus said, not that I'm going to make you a perfect person, not that I'm going to get your morality straight, not that I'm going to straighten out all the problems of the world. Jesus says in the most ultimate question to Thomas, saying, I go to prepare a place for you. Like Edith, preparing a place for the ones he loved. And provide and prepare, she did. She provided a place not just for her husband and then her children, not just her sons and daughters, but also a place even for daughters-in-law, even the crazy ones from California. All had a place. And when the grandchildren come, there was a place for them. There was a place for the grandchildren, and they knew it. Because they knew
incoming transmission
that when they were in their place, they were grandma's favorite. Who's your favorite grandchild? The one that's visiting me now. That is what love is. That is what love is, preparing a place. It may be a place in a house, preparing a place of a home, preparing a place for family. It may be a place in the heart, a place that you ache when you know someone is absent, a place that is empty unless the thoughts and the knowledge of them is filled. It may be like in a place in heaven that Jesus Christ, in God's ultimate love, has prepared a place for us for eternity. I can argue that all of civilization, or the best parts, and all of religion and faith, or the best parts, all have to do with people preparing a place for others. Preparing a place for others, saying that if you come, when you come, when you're here, when you're in your place, you're my favorite. You. Peter said that to our grandchildren, and Jesus Christ says that to you. And God says that to you by sending us Jesus Christ to prepare a place for his favorites, the ones who follow him, the one who come after him. The last thing that Edith asked me to do was to tell you all that she loved you. And so on behalf of Edith's last request, and on Jesus Christ's first request, I tell you that you are loved. You are loved by Edith. You are loved by Christ. And if today you feel lonely, if today you feel unloved, I'm telling you, you may be lonely, but you're not alone. You may feel unloved, but you are loved. You may feel you are no one's favorite, but you are God's favorite. When you're with God, you're God's favorite. Now and eternity. I can't take away sorrow and grief and sadness and emptiness, the emptiness that not just today, not just in the last week, but coming up, there'll be times when you reach for the phone and put it back on the cradle. There'll be times when you're in the car and you think you gotta go, and then you remember. There'll be times when you say, I have to tell, and then it'll come again. There'll be a time when you take the plate out of the cupboard and remember and put it back. When you put a chair up to the table for family gatherings and holidays and realize that you don't need it. If anyone wants to take away those things from you, don't let them. Not because you are to wallow in your grief, but because that is so much a part of love. Love is making a place for someone. And when that person we love gone, that place is empty and we ache. The only way to avoid the grief and sorrow and heartache is to avoid love. And never make a place in our lives for others. You would not wish that. And you would not ask me to wish that on you. God loved us so much that he sent Christ to prepare a place for us, knowing the great grief that he was headed for, the grief and the sorrow and the pain and the torture on the cross, the rejection of all that he loved, all by all that he loved, all that he had prepared a place for, the entire world, rejection, so much love, so much grief, so worthwhile. You do not honor Edith by not grieving for her, by not missing her, by not being sad that she's gone. What you do and how you can honor Edith and her Savior, who she followed, who made a place for her. The way to honor her is to make a place for others in your homes and in your hearts, in your society, in your churches, in your day-to-day lives. Make a place for someone that needs a place. Make a place for someone that thinks God's will is to be alone. Make a place for someone who thinks they will never know the love of a family. Make a place and show them the way to love. And when you're headed that way, when you're on that way, take a look in the rear view. You just might see Edith winking back at you. Amen.